This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this May 31st edition of Invest Talk. Above average investing for the average investor is what we're all about here. I'm trying to help promote investing knowledge. That's my job. We're here to help you get rich slowly. Now, if that doesn't sound very exciting, well, it's because successful investing really shouldn't be too exciting. Okay, as Paul Samuelson said, investing should be more like watching paint dry or watching grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. See, that investing is not exciting. If it is exciting, I think you're doing something wrong. Because it should be, well, it just should be a slow path to wealth. That's what it is. Now, we're going to talk some about investors in retirement. Many retired investors find themselves with an asset base. They may experience swings in values and going forward, but how to manage your growth and income in retirement. How to manage that. That's one of our talking points today. Now, having endorsed the Get Rich Slowly School of Investing, that's not to say you can't take more risks and be more aggressive. You can. You can do that. But I'm telling you, the path to getting rich in the stock market is not fast riches. Can it happen? Yes. Just like everybody wins the lottery, it can happen. But that's not a plan. That's just pure luck or just happenstance or you were in the right place at the right time. Most people, that doesn't happen to. So for the rest of us that didn't win the lottery and didn't get in the right spot at the right time or whatever, for the rest of us, to have a sure path to riches, you follow certain rules, be disciplined, and you will get rich. Really, it's a simple formula, really. Spend less than you earn. Invest the difference in appreciating assets. That's it. Spend less than you earn and invest the difference in appreciating assets. So like spending 10% less of every paycheck you get. Of course, it's going to take several decades for you to get wealthy, but you will end up there. I have been talking about it and pounding on the desk about this for years. And it means no credit card debt. You shouldn't have credit card debt. You won't have any of it if you spend less than you earn, right? Why would you have credit card debt? You won't. You have no car debt. Why? Because you save up for the car and you pay cash for it. The only exception is buying appreciated items like a house or rental property. There you can borrow the money. Okay? Because they provide a store of wealth. There's tax advantages in it. But generally they go up. So in value. That's an okay item to do that. Human nature seems to be the hindrance for people to become wealthy. Everyone wants instant gratification. It does not help that we are bombarded through media with all the pleasures of spending your money. Watch the commercials sometimes and see how happy they are. If you buy your this or drink that or eat this or go here, look how happy you will be. That's how that you're bombarded with that stuff. So, and of course, in a way, our society is consumer-driven, and that's how our economy grows, and I understand that. But you have to overcome the excess consumption, and that requires application of willpower. You got to resist it, and it's hard. It's not easy. I'm not suggesting it's easy. And everybody finds virtue in a great credit score. What the heck for? Why should anyone care what their credit score says? But see, that's because our society is built on that credit, you borrowing money. And you've just assumed that that's the way you have to have this great credit score. Why? Because you're going to borrow money? You shouldn't. How about just taking a different path? Get rich slowly. Spend less than you earn. Invest the rest. Okay, so what level of risk is appropriate for you? How do you determine that? Let's talk about that. Our listen line is always open, 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Let's take this question that came in before today's program. Oh, now let's first go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I'm looking to buy some SKT hanger outlets.
Uh-huh.
And it's close to the price that I'm willing to pay. I'm
okay.
Looking probably in the mid-25s.
Okay. Yeah, this is Tanger Factory Outlets. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, focused on developing, acquiring, operating, and managing factory outlet shopping centers across 22 states. And this is an area, one of the areas of retail sector that's doing pretty good still. Not the big box stores, but these outlet stores, they're all discount stores. They're still doing pretty good. And I can see why you would say that, because they're going to make $2.56 next year, and it's a $26 stock. So what is that, 10, 11 PE, and the five-year range is 10 to 23. So it's at the low end. Has a 31% return on equity, which is very high. And they're growing their sales 10% in the last two quarters each. So I can see that. The little negative you have, Art, is they have a lot of debt, but you would expect a REIT to have debt, because they're borrowing money to build or buy the shopping centers, right? They pay a 5% dividend. So I can see why it's attractive. Fundamentally, it looks attractive. And, of course, the stock has been falling for ever since, what, last August, July, August. The stock has been falling and accelerated its fall in May. And now you're thinking, well, maybe it's now cheap enough to pick up. So what you are, Art, is a deep value investor. This is the deep value at this point. Would you describe yourself as that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I was just looking at the dividend as well as the price drop from, like you say, last August.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their value is probably within my range anyway.
I think this is right near where you bought. It bottomed right a little bit below $25 in intraday, one day, and then ended up at the high of that day, a little over $25. And that was the low, and that was about 2 weeks ago. So I have a feeling this is kind of where you'd want to pick it up, Art. I mean, I think you nailed this one. I really do.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Art. Appreciate it. SKT is the symbol. Tanger Factory Outlet. Now, mind you, everybody, that doesn't mean this stock won't go down more. It could. It could. There's nothing to say it can't, because in the short term, stocks act crazy. They act like a spoiled child. There's no rationality necessarily in the short term. Long term, this is a very good value stock right now that has some growth and has been picking up lately. And it's not expensive. So that's the kind of investor Art is. He's a value, deep value investor, and this one is kind of matches all those criteria. And the only area you would have concern with is the debt, but being a REIT, they do carry debt. So one of the things I would look is see how often or how soon that debt has to be refinanced. And is it going to be a problem for them? They have great cash flow. Great cash flow. 888, and that's a REIT for you. They always do, usually do have great cash flow. Should, anyways. Rely on growth and income in retirement. That's one of our talking points, everybody. 888-99-CHART. What I want to talk about before the end of the day, though, is several things, if we can. One is rich people don't make these five money mistakes. So I was looking at them, and I kind of agree with that. I also want to talk about the conflict of interest analysts face. Okay? They have a conflict. You know how they always – you ever notice an analyst – always raising its target prices as the stock raises. The stock goes up, they raise the price, the target price. Why? Well, I'm going to talk about the conflicts of interest, why they do that kind of stuff. Things that don't necessarily make sense. If you're analyzing something, you don't just raise the target price of a stock just because it reached your target price. You don't raise it again. Or else, what was analyzing it? Why did you analyze it and say it was worth this price, and then it gets there, and then it's not right again? You had to raise the price again. Why? That doesn't make any sense. And what will be the big signal? What will be the big signal that the bull market is about to turn over? What's going to be that signal for you and me and everybody else? Well, I have a theory that we might see it, and we might have seen the first shot across the bows, so to speak, of that signal. So let's talk about what it will be. Okay? 888-99-CHART. That's our number we want to talk about. The market was down today. The Dow was down 21. The NASDAQ down 5. And the S&P down 1. And it was weaker than that during the day. But, you know, it's kind of a nothing day. Like yesterday was kind of a nothing day. You notice that the market's gone back to its doldrums of calmness. Okay? So, yeah, next 2 days will be a very interesting time because we got jobs report coming out Friday. Wonder if that will do anything. I have a feeling it won't. I have a feeling it won't move the market one way or another. And you do know the Fed is meeting later this month in June. And I wrote about that in my market commentary section at investtalk.com. And I said, you better expect a rate increase because it's coming. I don't see how they're going to not do it. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Lots to talk about today. Questions to answer. Will value stocks continue their comeback over growth stocks? Will emerging market stocks finally have their day in the sun over U.S. stocks? How much will rising interest rates impact the housing market? How do you measure risk against reward? All those things are hard to answer, aren't they? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hello, this is Matt in Columbus, listening on iTunes. Steve, I was wondering what you thought of Compass Minerals. C as in cat, M as in Mary, C as in Paul. I own a little bit of it, and I was thinking about getting some more. Have a good day.
Okay, Compass Minerals International, CMP. It's out of Overland Park, Kansas. Produces salts. Salts for highway de-icing, water conditioning, food preparation, agricultural, industrial applications. It's a $2.1 billion company, so it's a small cap, but pretty good size for just producing salts, I think. They have made money consistently. They have not had consistent growth, though. Okay? They've had inconsistent growth. They've always made money, though. They pay a dividend of 4.5%, and there's, you know, you focus on that because that is where the attractiveness comes. Sales have recently gone up in recent quarters, but the P/E ratio, you know, it's a $64 stock going to make $4.16 next year. So you're looking at a P/E ratio, you know, of, you know, 15, 18, something like that. So it's not out of line. Return equity is good at 16%. So if you're going to buy it for the dividend, this is probably where you'd want to pick it up, right in this range. Okay, you wouldn't buy it for growth, though. It's just not a growing company. It's just not. But the dividend looks pretty solid. Great cash flow. This is the Best Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now. 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Investing to insurance, it's all about your money.
Risk creates tension, stress. And when it comes to building your nest egg for retirement in today's money world, you need to take some risk to make any gains at all. But what's just as important?
You really need to understand the type of risk you are willing to take and the type of risk you are taking.
InvestTalk host Steve Peasley and Justin Klein want you to have the advantage of being able to actually measure your exposure to risk.
They've teamed up with a nationally recognized software developer to bring you a free risk analysis tool that you can use anytime. It's easy.
3 or 4 questions to figure out what your personal risk tolerance is.
To use it now, just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk with 2 T's, investtalk.com.
Luckily, we have the tools to do those calculations very quickly.
And it's all free.
It's all free.
From KPP Financial on investtalk.com.
You know, at Advance Auto Parts, we have some of the most knowledgeable and helpful people working in our stores. We just thought you should know. Because buying online and picking up your part at the local Advance Auto Parts store is so easy that, well, the most they may get to say to you is, "Hi, here's your part." It's a shame, really. Buy online, pick up in store in 30 minutes. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road.
Someone else's driving can cause a big problem. On average, there are more than 26,000 car accidents a day. Know what to do if you're in one. Then learn the right parts, insurance, and repairs that keep your Ford afloat at takeagoodlook.com. Based on 2012 statistics from NHTSA.
Enjoy the sea breeze with sophisticated shopping, dining, and entertainment right at your doorstep. It's all here at our Carmel Valley Communities. Call 855-780-2470 for more information. Love where you live.
There's nothing like Gold Peak's home-brewed taste. It starts with mountain-grown tea. Pure, filtered water, and just the right balance of sweetness. Gold Peak, the taste that brings you home.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
InvestTalk continues, a service of KPP Financial, for more than 20 years helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. You're welcome to call our live listener line 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or the same number anytime, and we'll answer your question on the next InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Income versus growth investing. You know, there's a lot of people think that either you're going to invest for growth or you're going to invest for income, when frankly, I think you can do both. It's more difficult. You have to have a strategy. But income versus growth. If you're looking for growth stocks, you're not looking for instance, like Compass Minerals we just talked about. You're not looking for the 4.5% dividend like it pays. You want the growth. And it does not have it. So you would not buy Compass Minerals. But does that mean you don't, you know, if you're an income investor, you don't even think about growth? The answer is no. I think you want growth. But your focus has to be determined ahead of time. Is your focus income or is your focus growth? For instance, you could have a primary focus of income. That's your focus, with a secondary focus of growth in addition to the income. So what that means is, you're always looking for those investments that have income, but you always have your eye out for looking at the investments that have income plus growth. And they're out there. They're there. It's harder. You got to make sure the growth is sustainable. It's not as easy. And sometimes you get no growth. Maybe you're just looking, you just found something as the income is just too irresistible. Maybe Compass Minerals is one of them. You're going to get 4.5% yield on this, and it has great cash flow, and they've always made money, so the yield is not going away. You're not going to get growth, though, because it's been very erratic. So I don't know if you have to decide what kind of investor you are. Are you a growth investor? Is that your focus? And usually, you know, it's usually a function of age. Usually the younger you are, the more you're focused on growth. Or even on wealth. If you're very wealthy, you might focus on growth and not income. But for the majority of us, for the rest of us, as we get older, we're looking for income. I have a program called the Balanced Income Portfolio, which focuses income with a secondary goal of growth. And it has done very well meeting both of those criteria. Primarily income, secondary growth. You can do it. You don't have to give up all growth. And I don't think you should, even in retirement, because you got to stay up with inflation. You want to stay ahead of it. You really do. Let's go to Ken in Wisconsin. How you doing, Ken?
Good. Hey, I wanted to start out thanking you. I called on Friday with the input on Palo Alto Networks, PANW, and I bought it. Whatever is a quick trade, and I bought it yesterday at 117. It popped up really nice to like 132.
Great.
33, so that was sweet. So I have another one I was asking for. I have my play account. It's the stock Five Below reports earnings tomorrow. The ticker symbol is FIVE.
Well, what's
your input on?
Okay, well, looking at the chart, it looks like it's double bottoming right around this price. So that's kind of a good thing. Five Below Inc., it's out of Philadelphia. It operates 437 $5 or less teen targeted discount retail stores in 27 states. And they plan to open 85 more in 2016 and 17. So a pretty good growth prospects. They are making money, have made money for many, many years, still going to make money. They're going to make $1.62 next year. A year after that, $1.91. So that's, and the sales growth is really doing nicely, 18, 20, 25% also. Therefore, you're going to pay up for it. The PE is 40 right now. The stock is $51 a share. So it's going to make close to $2. That's going to make it, what, 25, 26. And that means in the future for this company, that's cheap, Ken. It's going to be cheap. So I think this is an area that you would want to buy it. But you might want it. You know what a doji is? Have you ever heard of that term?
No.
Okay, well, that's a charting term. It's a Japanese candlestick charts. And a doji is where the pattern of movement of price in a day, it has a downstroke, moves up, and closes near the top of the day. That tells me you have a better than 50% chance of it moving up the next few days.
Okay.
So unless something disastrous happens, this should have a little pop. I can't tell you how much.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping for with the Palo Alto Networks. And, you know, with this play account, I'd like to see if I can catch a quick 3 to 5%. And yeah, that
you might
Palo
get
Alto
that.
Palo Alto Networks really did well today, but with the Five Below, they have, I saw that there's about 90% shorted in the stock.
Yeah, that's a positive, believe it or not.
Right. So if the price goes up and people are shorting it, a lot of times, don't they start to scramble out of it to try to cover their short positions?
And that's called
the price.
That's exactly right, and it's called a short squeeze, Ken.
Okay.
How
about on the opposite side, if they have bad earnings and the price starts to come down, that many people shorting is not going to have as dramatic of an effect on the downside. It's more pushing the price to cover the short squeeze.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay?
Thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks for the input.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Be sure to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. It's a source of good information, up-to-date financial news and insight, and a whole library of time of info sheets, recorded webinars. It's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab on Invest Talk.
Our Invest Talk podcast continues next. First, a reminder about our wealth webinar coming up this evening. That's May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. And you'll be joined by financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein, along with Chevy Atkison. Chevy is a real estate investor, and together they'll talk about the basics of residential real estate investing. It's a free live one-hour webinar with plenty of time for your questions, too.
and they'll show you what you need to know to be a successful investor in a very competitive marketplace. The basics of residential real estate investing. Just go to investtalk.com to register. It begins at 6:30 Pacific time. And now let's continue with the podcast. Let's continue now with Invest Talk for this Wednesday, May 31st. You're welcome to call with your question or comment. Any money topic, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Well, let's talk about why analysts have conflicts of interests. Okay, analysts, of course, are the ones who, you know, take a look at a company, they analyze it, they decide if it's good or bad, and set a price of what they think the company is worth. And analysts work for different groups, right? Okay, they work for different Wall Street companies. Well, why do they have conflicts of interest? Well, because if you're an analyst working for a Wall Street company, that Wall Street company doesn't get paid separately for research. Research is simply a tool to get other business. So if you're a Wall Street company and you have analysts, you don't get paid for whatever the analyst does. You don't get paid for that. Okay, you get paid by companies for other services. So think about, well, how many analysts are going to be negative? To gain business, Wall Street firms have to attract attention. Rising price targets attract attention, right? Okay, I think Amazon is worth $800 when it's selling for close to $1,000. You think that's going to get attention? If you put a price target of $1,200, it'll get attention if you're an analyst. Even if your old price target was $800 and it's now $1,000, are you going to get, what kind of attention are you going to get if you stay at $800? Negative attention. So to do their jobs, analysts need access to management, don't they? To do their job right, they got to be able to go to a company, talk to the management. Do you think they're going to be able to talk to management if they write negative reports? Or they have a low target price for the stock? No. Remember, these are reasons I'm giving you why they have built-in conflicts. To do their job, they got to talk to the management. To do that, they got to be upbeat on the company. And ultimately, the money an analyst makes depends on how much business he helps his firm generate. It's not based on how right they are, if they're right or wrong. You're an analyst. Do you think just because you're right, you're gonna be held as somebody who's really great for the company? No, you need to help attract business to the company. That doesn't mean being right. That means being attracting business somehow. How do you do that? Well, when you analyze companies, you're upbeat 99% of the time. So those companies look favorable upon your company. They have built-in conflicts of interest. This is a very difficult area. Why do you think the dot-com era, every analyst in the world thought every dot-com was going to keep going up and up and up? And no earnings, there was no integrity in analyzing those stocks whatsoever. And yet every analyst was upbeat. And I'll tell you again where you're seeing some lack of integrity. Some of these like Amazon, Netflix, Tesla, huge growth in prices, but not necessarily realistic. But the analysts all are raising price targets on these companies, kind of companies. And one day they'll be wrong and the huge losses in these companies will result in the price of the stocks. When, I can't tell you. I don't know. But it will happen. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. It happens every so often. Just always happens. You just have to have your eyes open knowing that's what happens. That the analysts, you've heard me say this repeatedly, analysts are always wrong. But they're always wrong because they have a master they have to serve, and that master wants a certain outlook. And that outlook better be upbeat on most stocks. And so you can't be honest. You can't be brutally honest. It's just impossible as an analyst. If you're a podcast listener, you can talk to us live if you check in between 4 and 5 Pacific time. Of course, you can also ask your question anytime you want. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I've got a question about a mortgage. Steve has mentioned several times paying an additional amount on the principal every month. I've been doing that for about 2.5 years. I have a $172,000 mortgage. I pay an additional $300 a month to principal. It's a 4% interest rate. I've been doing that for 2.5 years now. I was just wondering if I understand this correctly, you can re-amortize the loan. I know there's a fee to kind of get those interest rates down so I paid off some of the principal. I was just wondering if you had any advice on that, if it should pay off a certain amount or certain percentage to before doing something like that. So I appreciate it. I'll listen to it on the podcast. Bye.
Well, my personal opinion is if the loan is still, if it's a 30-year loan and you only have 2 or 3 years into it, maybe 5 years or less, and you can get at least a quarter point or more break on the interest rate, I would do it. I'd refinance it and still pay the same amount of money a month because you get the lower monthly payment. Because this is why, people. You want the lower monthly payment because you want the freedom to be able to pay that low amount if you have financial problems, you lose your job or whatever. You want the lowest amount you have to pay, and you don't want to lose your house. But you really can't, especially if it doesn't cost you anything to refinance that loan or it's a very low-cost refinance. If you can get a low enough that it would drop the loan down to any kind of significance, usually that's about 0.25%. And you still pay the same amount you were paying before. So now you're eating back into the principal faster, which is great. Remember, your goal is to have the mortgage paid off by the time you retire. That's really the goal. So I still like, and I know I hear people saying, well, the interest rate's so low. Why would you want to pay it off? It's really cheap money. Why don't you invest that money in the market and you can make more money? I hear all those arguments. This is how I rebut that argument. The stock market is a great place to make money in the long term. But right now, with interest rates so low, yeah, it's great that you're getting very low money. But with the stock market so high, why would you want to put more money in the stock market? Why would you risk that, right? You don't have no risk when you're paying down your mortgage because your house value is your house value. There's no risk in paying that down. There's risk in investing in the market. So there's a trade-off there. And it really is an individual choice of a person, what they really want to do. I'm just saying, as a money manager, an investment advisor, my advice is by the time you retire, try to get rid of the mortgage. That's your one of your biggest expenses. And why do you have it when you're going to be on pretty much a fixed income? You don't need it. Just an extra worry. We call them wealth webinars because these topics are selected to help you find your own path to wealth and financial independence. So get together with Justin Klein and real estate investor Chevy Atkinson this evening, tonight. The basics of residential real estate investing. It's free. All you do is sign up on investtalk.com. You can do that on investtalk.com. Just look for the Invest Talk tab and then Wealth Webinar.
Are you an InvestTalk insider? Insiders have access to an entire library of info sheets, for example, like how to invest in real estate through real estate investment trusts. Insider membership is free. Sign up on investtalk.com.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I'm a longtime listener, and I just had a question regarding Target, TGT, and Kroger, KR. I was looking to add one of these to my portfolio, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on a long-term value play. Obviously, Target's paying a lot better dividend, but their growth has really slowed. Kroger's not growing very fast, but at least they are showing some growth. So I was just curious what your thoughts were on those two, Target and Kroger. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, either one of them are not growth stocks. You're not really looking at them for growth. You're looking for them at income. That's the primary focus. And Kroger is growing a little bit where Target's not growing at all. But if you're looking at income, if that's your primary focus, you don't want Kroger. You want Target. Target pays 4.4% dividend yield right now, where Kroger only pays, you know, a little over 1%. So it depends, and for Target is at its low end of its 5-year range and PE ratio, has a great return on equity. Insiders are buying it this price that it is now. Yes, it has fallen, but I think it's probably put in a bottom. For Kroger, you're looking at a stock, Target is shrinking 1 to 2% per quarter. Hopefully they'll turn that around. That's Target, where Kroger is growing like 4 to 5% per quarter in sales. And earnings are growing 3 to 5%. So Kroger has a little bit better prospects on that end, but neither one of them are growth stocks. So both of them are, you buy them pretty much for the dividend. And then I think that Target wins that argument, not Kroger. It's not that Kroger is bad or anything. Don't get me wrong here. Kroger's PE ratio is fairly low as well. So neither one of them are bad. If looking at a chart, I think Kroger's chart, well, both charts look pretty good, but I think Kroger's chart looks like it's put in a bottom more clearly than Target put in a bottom, but it does look like Target's put in a bottom too. So it's a tough one. If I was to choose, I'd pick Target, and probably because we own Target in some of our managed accounts. Okay, so I kind of like Target. Remember, it's both of them are big companies. Big companies. Kroger's at $27 billion in market cap, while Target is 30. So, you know, you could take a half position on both if you, that way you don't have to decide. But if you're an income investor, it's going to be Target. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So rich people don't make these kinds of mistakes. And it ties in with my theme about how to get rich. They don't spend everything they earn, rich people. Now, remember I said I want you to spend less than you earn? Well, rich people do that. Rich people don't miss opportunities to grow their wealth. They keep an eye out for opportunities. They don't make emotional financial decisions. They look at hardcore facts. They don't put all their eggs in one basket. They don't bet the farm on any one thing. And they get expert advice. They don't do it on their own. And, you know, they get experts to help them with this. That's what rich people do. There's none of that that I just told you that you can't do. You can do the exact same thing. Why don't you? I notice a lot of beginner investors think that they can make money easy in the market, that they don't need expert help, that they tend to think that they're smarter than other people. Try to remember this. If you're buying a stock, you think it's going to go up. Someone else is selling you that stock. They're convinced it's going to go down. Are you smarter than them? Do you know? Are you smarter than them? Because you're betting that you are, aren't you? How do you know? There's always two sides of the trade. There's always a different opinion. So try to remember that when you invest. I am betting against a lot of people who think I'm wrong. Because you couldn't buy the stock if someone wasn't going to sell it to you. Vice versa, selling versus buying. If you'd want to sell a stock and someone else is willing to buy it, they think it's going up, you think it's going down. See, so you don't really want to look at the stock as going up or down. You want to look at it as a company you're buying that has solid earnings, it's not overpriced, that kind of thinking, not just I'm going to make some money on this stock. Think deeper than that. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor. Love to answer any questions. 888-99-CHART, and that's our anytime number.
Hey, Jen from Denver, Colorado. Here's my question. I'd like to buy some stocks and then write covered calls on them. So what's the best way to identify your ETFs or stocks that don't move around very much so that they don't get called away? So thank you. Bye.
Well, for stocks that don't move around very much, is you want the board, usually the very largest companies. And if you want a fertile place to look, look at your Dow 30. The Dow 30 stocks, they generally are not the biggest movers. Generally are not. You're looking for boring. So you're looking for big companies. And I won't recommend anything, but you know, there, if you look at the Dow 30, that's all they are, is big companies. You're looking for very low volatility in the price. You're going to find very low growth or no growth. You're going to find very steady earnings. Those are the stocks that don't move very much. And if you're going to do covered calls, and for everybody that's options, and that's called insurance. So what her thinking is, and I want to buy a stock that doesn't move. I want to own that company, or 100 shares, or whatever that company. Then I want to sell options to people. And they're called covered calls because you own the underlying stock, covered. You're covered because the option you're going to sell it can mean that the stock will be called away from you. Someone can buy it, or someone sells you the stock, and you get to collect the premium on the options. And she's doing a premium thing. She wants to just collect the premiums and never let go of the stock. 888-99-CHART is our number. Now, everybody's looking, trying to figure out when the market's going to roll over and go down. Everybody's looking for when is this parade that started in 2009, March of 2009, this parade of the market going up, when is it going to end? Okay, and everybody's looking for, well, what should we look, how do we know? And I'm going to give you a signal, something that you should look for. And this doesn't mean that bull market will end. This doesn't mean that at least at the minimum a correction is upon us. And that is volatility. We had one huge day, remember, down day, 300 and something points, 2.5 weeks ago or so. One big down day. That's the kind of volatility you want. Big down, big up, big down, big up. You want a lot more than we're seeing. So that might have been the first shot across the bows of finally getting some kind of correction. But we don't know that, of course, looking forward. But if you're looking for a signal, increased volatility will be it. The markets usually go up very slowly over time, but they go down very fast. So you can see a lot of downward volatility quickly, and that's very difficult. You know, it's almost impossible, or is impossible, to time the market. But that's going to be the big signal for as far as technically. It's not going to be all the earnings are turning back, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think the earnings are going to continue doing well. World economies are turning up, not down. Japan, EU are getting better. We are getting a little bit stronger. Obviously, we had a very weak first quarter. The second quarter is going to be much better. So there's not going to be fundamentals or economic to give us that correction signal that we're finally going to get a correction to market. I don't think we're in for a bear market, not yet. But we are in for a correction. We're past due. But I can't tell you when. What if it doesn't happen until October, November? I don't know. October seems to be one of the most volatile months of the year, historically speaking. Seems like it anyways. But, you know, I just want you to know, no one knows or can tell you or predict what's going to happen and when. It just does not, it's not, it doesn't exist in real life. Someone telling you, this is what you look for. There is no holy grail. But increase in volatility means that people are starting to get worried. Okay? What happens is you have a market that goes down like we saw that 200, 370, whatever it was, And the next day people say, oh, now there's an opportunity. Because everybody still believes in the Trump effect. They still believe that they're going to get tax cuts and that they're going to get infrastructure spending and that they're going to get health care reform. Everybody still is believing that. There was a couple of one-day disbelief. Of, oh, maybe things are, then it came right back. And that's what you're going to see. People say, oh, what if we can't get this done? You know, as time marches by and he's not getting any of that done, investors are going to finally say, well, wait a minute, this might be years in the making, not just this year or the next. It might be years in the making. So they're going to say, hey, and we pushed up the stock prices pretty high. But then once the prices go down, you're going to have other people who have been waiting, jump in. That's what that means is you're going to see volatility. Now, here's an investing term you should know. You've heard it. But what exactly does it mean? What is a pyramid scheme? A pyramid scheme. Okay. A pyramid scheme is an illegal investment scam. Illegal investment scam based on a setup that will look like a pyramid if you look at it and set it up and look at it with any distance. And what that means is that new people coming in and make a base of the pyramid. And provide the funding. They provide the money. Okay, they're promised to get big returns, and they have to get two people or more to increase the base. And those people get two people or more, increase the base. And then they start paying off the underlying people. And it keeps growing and growing and growing. As long as it's growing, it'll stay fine. But then at some point, it collapses. And the majority of people lose all their money. Investopedia has a good definition. Time's up for the hour, everybody. Before we go, a reminder to sign up for the free live webinar this evening, May 31st, 6:30 tonight, p.m. Pacific time. The basics of residential real estate investing. It's free. All you do is sign up on investtalk.com. Just look for the Invest Talk tab and then Wealth Webinar. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.